Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia dealers of Ireland. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia are with you all the way.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Heike Phelan is on WhatsApp, which means the line is going to be really clear. Heike Phelan, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
How are you? Now, it's love in the time of COVID is very difficult if people are apart. But it was difficult for you and your husband before COVID because you're in Limerick, where you live. And where is he, Heike?
My husband's in the maximum security prison in Texas.
And his name is William?
It is.
Okay. And when did you marry him?
We were married back in 2012.
And where?
Yeah, after
where
knowing each other about 3 years.
And how did you meet him, Heike?
It was actually through a Christmas card exchange program on a support website, you know, for prison families and that. And they were, and I'd had a friend in a prison in California for years. So I put his name forward for this Christmas card swap. So other people sent him Christmas cards. But in return, I had to do the same. So I was given a list of people to send cards to.
Okay.
And this one went to what was a friend of William's who said, oh, I don't want to be writing back here. Do you want this? And I mean, the writing back was not the intention. It was basically just a cheer up at Christmas cards.
Okay.
But that's how it started.
And you have met him?
Oh, yeah. I've many times, yeah. Go out regularly.
And how did you fall in love with them? Or how did he fall in love with you? It's reciprocal.
Yeah, it was just over time, really, you know, because for the first few years, it was actually just letters. And for the first 18 months, it was letters before I went out to actually visit to see that what the person I was getting on paper matched the person, you know, in front of me. And fortunately, it did match. It came back, you know, it's quite hard over time to hide anything in letters, you know, because especially if you're sort of aware that, especially with the type of environment, you know, there are a lot of games and mind games go on.
Yeah.
So you've got to be a little bit clued up to the possibility that there's some scam going on. But over time, it's not possible to maintain that in a letter. When it's, you know, three, four letters a week consistently. So you actually get to know somebody extremely well through personal letters. But like I say, fortunately, he matched what he wrote. And so it went from there, really.
And then when you met him the first time, what was that like, Heike?
Go on.
No, I'm just saying, had you decided at that stage that the two of you were in love? Tell us, but anyway, I shouldn't be jumping ahead. Tell us about meeting him for the first time.
The first time I'd not been to America before at that point. So that in itself was quite daunting, you know, with the whole immigration process. But then going to a maximum security prison with all the, you know, masses of razor wire and guard towers and all this is quite daunting. And then going through, you know, walking through parts of the prison to visitation room and everything. But the only thought I had initially was, God, I hope he's got teeth.
Okay.
You know. I hope he does. I hope the photo also matches. Yeah. The person also matches the photos I've got.
Okay.
Unfortunately, on both counts, it did. You know, so yeah.
And what did you know about William at this stage before you met him in the prison? Where he's serving, 75 years?
Yeah. I mean, he told me in the very first letter that he sent me what he was in prison for, you know, what had happened, this, that he'd been in and out previously for different things. So, I mean, he was very upfront and said, you know, check me out on Google. I'll be there. Texas Post, everything about everything. And that's what I did. And everything he said matched what, you know, was there. So,
And do you want to tell us his full name? I know it's online here, but do you want to tell us his full name, or do you want to leave it just as William?
Oh, well, I mean, I was just, even in the books I've written about him, I have him named as William, so I just refer to him as William.
Okay.
And
when did you decide then to get married?
I've been visiting for probably 18 months or more before we actually got married. So we'd known each other well over 3 years before we got married.
Okay. And what was the, well, 3 years from inside a prison and,
yeah.
and outside a prison?
No.
And no, you've never met him outside the prison walls?
No.
Okay. And how? What type of chap is he? Your husband?
Yeah, he's definitely what you'd call a tough guy. I mean, I've never been one to be into bad boys, and that certainly didn't attract me. And I wouldn't put him in that category. And because he's certainly changed from being one of those tough guys, very stereotypical of probably what you'd consider a thug in prison. Mm-hmm. It was probably more along those lines when we met, but over this past 10, 12 years, he's certainly changed. I mean, he claims that's my influence, but he's definitely changed his attitude towards, you know, life, prison, being in there, you know, generally a lot more mature.
And can I ask what age he is now?
He's 52 now.
So you're a few years younger than him, as you tell. But like, he's doing 75 years.
Yeah, he's got, well, that's the sentence he was given, but he's got to do 30 and then he's eligible for parole.
And when will that be?
So he's got another potentially 10 years.
Wow.
Fortunately, there are a lot of parole reforms in process. Some of them will likely happen in the next year or two. So mean he'll likely be out in the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay. And do you intend going to the States to live with him or vice versa? He comes here.
Oh, God, no, I can't stand Texas. It's awful.
Is he?
yeah. I've no desire to live there. If there was no choice, I would. However, I would prefer it if he was able to come over here.
Okay.
I mean, that will probably be a bit of a legal battle, but
and which,
you know,
which
that's
did you,
for down the road.
Yeah, well, that's down the road. What did you find out first? One, that he was doing 75 years, or two, what he was in for?
Well, say he told me in the first letter, so, you know, it said he was in for party to murder.
Party to murder.
Yeah, which means it's a law they have, which means that he was with somebody who committed the crime. He wasn't actually with him, stood there with him. He was actually sat in the car in a car park a couple of hundred metres away, had no knowledge of it. And that's all in the trial records. So it's not me, you know, saying.
So if he got 70,
wishful thinking.
If he got 75 years, you say, for sitting in a car, twiddling his thumbs, what did the other fella get? The guy who stabbed or murdered the other person. What did he
get? He got 28 years and he's already out on parole.
How come the perpetrator got more than the chap who was sitting in the car?
Yeah. Welcome to Texas justice. And that is a big reason, you know, the whole nonsense around it and the whole, the corruptness and all this is a big reason why I actually ended up writing the series of books I did. And I mean, it's actually based on his life in prison where the, you know, the corruption and the violence and the exploitation is magnified even more. But that was one of my biggest reasons for writing the books, you know, particularly in William's situation, the medical side, because the medical neglect is shocking. I mean, that led him to the lack of medical care led him to having testicle cancer, led him to having complete kidney failure. And he now has, permanent other health issues due to the medical neglect in there, you know, so it's these things that, you know, it's easy to say, well, oh, the, you know, they've committed a crime. If you can't do the time, don't commit the crime. But the problem is we have prisons and we have people in there. It's what happens in there that is the problem.
And what is
that
this,
needs
what
highlighting
is
that people don't know about.
But, Heike, what is his day-to-day life in prison in Texas while you're in Limerick?
You know, in Texas, they have to work. They've no choice but to work. And just to point out, this is another exploitation. They don't get paid to work. They don't. And for those like William who have what's called an aggravated sentence, which means there was a weapon involved, they don't even earn good time or work time credit towards a reduction of the sentence. So essentially that makes it slavery, which, of course, we know is illegal. But at the minute, COVID's been going on the last 12 months. There's been no visitation.
Wow.
Mail has been very sporadic. In fact, they've just had federal law enforcement go into the mail room in William's facility and remove two of the mail room workers because they've been hiding mail for the past 6 to 9 months. They've been shredding mail, throwing it away, which, of course, is illegal. Phone calls are very sporadic because they're constantly going on either a so-called medical lockdown or because of the shortage of staff. So it can be weeks on end before you don't get a phone call. So it's been, you know, the COVID situation has, of course, intensified what would normally be quite a difficult situation in the first place.
And Heike, when is the last time you've seen your husband?
Oh, that would be probably coming up 2 years ago now. I was about to go out when COVID hit and they stopped all
visitation. And when is the last, can you speak to him on the phone?
We do have phone calls. Okay. Yeah. I would say the only good thing as far as the Texas prison system is concerned that has come situation.
Is what situation?
To implement video visitation.
Yeah, okay.
The only good thing that Texas Department of Criminal Justice have implemented because of COVID is video visitation, which they didn't do before. So we do get
that's a bonus.
Video visitation.
That's a bonus for you. Yeah.
It is at the minute, yeah. So it's not an easy situation, you know, and it's the type of relationship, you know, you've got to be very strong. And this sort of relationship, communication, honesty and trust all go hand in hand. Without any of those, it's not going to last. And particularly, you know, with there might be weeks of no speaking on the phone or your letters are going astray or being thrown away. You know, you've got to have that trust there to know that everything's okay.
And Heike, I presume you married William in prison, the ceremony.
I did.
And who?
Well, it didn't happen in prison at the time. They do prison weddings now. But at the time when we got married, they didn't allow them. So what it was, you each had to fill paperwork in and the paperwork went to the courthouse. It was all handled by the judge.
But what does it mean? What is the difference in your relationship between being not married and now that you are married officially? You're his next of kin, I presume. Are you in terms of?
Well, I'm his next of kin. I can obviously visit him, and that means we can have contact visits, which means sitting across the table rather from each other rather than with the Perspex screen in between.
Okay.
I can put money on his phone account or his commissary account, you know, whereas somebody who's not connected to him or on his visitation list isn't allowed to. So, you know, a lot of it's administration rather than,
And who proposed to who, can I ask?
Oh, yeah, he asked me.
Ah,
yeah,
that's nice.
He was actually at a wedding, at a visit one time.
And what's he like? What's he like in real life, as they say?
is extremely funny. He thinks he's some poor sort of comedian, which I would dispute, you know.
I mean, most men do, and most women do as well, dispute the fact that their husbands are funny.
Exactly.
When they deliberately, at least.
Yeah, he's extremely supportive. I mean, he's extremely intelligent. I mean, he's the one who's always pushing me to, you know, follow my dreams or ambitions. He's the one who, you know, he provides all the material for the books which he initially suggested I write because he thought I'd be a great writer. You know, he's always boosting my confidence. That's sort of everything, the sort of thing you should have in a partner. At the minute, not physically there.
At the start of the interview, you said that you began by letter writing. How often would you write to each other?
We would write three letters a week. We had a system because a lot of this was to do with the, you know, mailroom being very untrustworthy. So we'd write three a week and post them, say, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay, so they don't
And we'd do a short, we'd always do a short one, a medium one, and a long one. So that'd be, short one would be less than eight sides of paper. Medium would be up to 20, and the long one would be over 20. And it was a way of knowing if one hadn't turned up, you know, what was missing.
Oh, because you'd say, what letter did you get? And he'd say, I got the 3-page one, the 8-page one, or the 27-page one.
Yeah.
And what's the longest letter you've ever written to him?
I'd say we had a bit of a competition going for a while. I think the longest one I wrote was about 36 pages. And then he beat me with sending one back that was 72 pages.
Wow.
And I gave up after that.
Well, you hold on to those letters. The letters from William to Heike and the letters from Heike to William could be a great book. Will you stay there? I'll take a quick break. Heike.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
I'm talking to Heike Phelan, who's in County Limerick, where she lives. Her father was from Limerick and her mother was German, she tells us. And Heike struck up a relationship through pen and paper with a man called William, and he's in prison serving 75 years in one of the toughest prisons in America. It's in Texas. And Heike established a relationship, and then they got married. And you think he might be out, Heike, in what, under 10 years?
I would think there's a high likelihood of that possibly in about 3 years.
I mentioned that
because
you're now married to him, you're now his next of kin. Heike, what about your family? What did they think of the marriage?
That just doesn't get mentioned. It didn't go down well. It doesn't get talked about, you know. And I mean, you know, fortunately, everyone's living their own lives, so doesn't really.
No, but what I mean is, say, even if you got a Christmas card for a member of your family, would it be to Heike and William, or would it just be to Heike? Do you follow me?
I have a couple of friends who would send him Christmas cards, but other than that, that's it.
Okay. So that's difficult, is it?
Yeah.
And what about his family?
Yeah. Well,
what's life? Have you met the in-laws?
I have spoken to them, but I have very limited contact with them. It's how it often goes in these scenarios.
God, you've taken on an awful lot, haven't you?
Yes. I don't really think about it, you know, because I just get on with it. I just do it day to day. It's just something you have to do. But I mean, William tells me quite often that, you know, families on the outside have far more to deal with and far more stigma and judgment than them sat in prison.
Yeah.
You know, they've only to look after themselves, as he says. And he has this argument with many a time with those he's in there with who don't like to believe it, you know. But yeah, it's not something I really think about. It's just to get on with it. And, you know, the worst part is constantly having to get onto the unit because they're doing something wrong which causes a problem. Or, as I said before, the medical side.
And do you find yourself advocating for William?
I do, very much so, very much so. It's, you know, and especially, like I say, the medical, they hate it when I email or call because I light a fire under them. In fact, I'll tell you how much they are sort of, they prefer not to have to deal with me because, there are three books in my series at the minute, Child Convict, Career Convict and Convict Code, which just came out. In the prison, there's a notice board that the officers have, and there are pictures up on, you know, all the latest contraband items that have been found, or how contraband is hidden, and this, that, and the other. What the warden told him the other day, that they've put pictures of all three book covers up on this notice board, along with all the contraband, because the administration is so unhappy with the books that I've written, because it shows them in such a bad light.
And are the books biographical of William's life?
They are. Everything that I've written in the books is actually factual. You know, everything, but I've actually had to write them as novels so as not to get into any legal trouble with them.
I understand.
You know, they already, as each one was released, they tried to stop each one. They tried to put it on the banned books list, but because there was nothing in there that, you know, would be possible to ban it on, they couldn't do that. So now they just, you know, it seems to be talked about all the time. And he tells me all the time on the phone, oh, yeah, and this other officer saying, trying to give me a hard time, saying, oh, yeah, that one that's had books written about, Matt, yeah, you think you're it and everything. Yeah, and he just laughs.
But he did land on his feet when he met you, Ike. Am I being...
It depends how you mean that.
Well, he's blessed.
Statement.
He's
could be a little bit loaded.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, does that sound loaded? Go on, check me if you wish. I'm just saying he's in prison. Do you remember Mrs. Merton? Do you remember that TV show? Do you remember it in the UK? I know you're from Yorkshire originally. It's the Paul Daniels. You remember Debbie McGee was on. Remember the magician Paul Daniels?
Oh, I do.
And Debbie McGee was on, and Mrs. Merton, who was a character, said to her, "Well, tell me, Debbie, what did you see in the millionaire Paul Daniels?" And in one sense, William, what did you see in this incredible woman outside the prison who was going to campaign for you, was going to look after you? He was blessed. He was blessed. When he met you?
Well, and he says that all the time. But, I mean, it certainly didn't start out that way from the start. I mean, I did nothing at the start. I mean, even now, I don't send him any money. The only thing I pay for is phone calls. But, you know, that's to my benefit. Okay. I've never sent him any money. I send him books occasionally to read. And I didn't actually start sort of advocating more for him in terms of medical or anything else by contacting the administration until sort of the last 3 or 4 years when it became so bad. So,
and are you allowed?
You know, he's had to earn his way.
Yeah, and it sounds, the relationship sounds incredible. But for example, can you talk on your wedding anniversary?
If he can call on that day, if they've turned the phones on, then yes.
Depends,
and I mean, would I mean, they've only had the video visits for the past 4 months, so you know. But
it's an incredible story, Heike. It's an incredible story.
We did talk on the last one.
Okay. You're saying hopefully we'll be out within the next decade, and. You're still a young woman. He's still a young man as well. He's early 50s. You're a few years younger. from and.
Oh no, I'm the same age.
Oh, you're the same age. Oh, sorry, I thought you were the same age. Okay.
I am.
I thought it was about 3 years.
In fact, I always joke because I'm actually 3 months older.
Oh, you're 3 months older than I'm. Okay.
Oh my God, I've got a toy boy. I'm not too happy about that.
Okay, well, it sounds very fulfilling for the two of you, Heike, and it's an incredible story. Where can be? I know, by the way, you didn't come on to talk about your books. In fairness to, but where can people get these books?
Oh, you can get them on Amazon. You can get them on.
And they're under
your online retail. You can even go into Easons and order it.
Okay, it's called, the author's name. They're under your name, Heike Phelan.
They are.
Okay.
They are indeed.
Heike, yeah. I wish you well, and William as well. And it's an incredible story. But you've taken on a lot. But you say it's an equal partnership. So please God, everything works out in your marriage when you actually get together outside those prison walls. Thanks indeed. That's Heike Phelan. 51551. Not at all. You're welcome, Heike. It was fascinating. 51551, Marshan.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.